do some forward folds. So if you need blocks to support your hands on, some comfortable people chair to sit on.
I can't do forward folds on basically any other than Sutta. So I'll just
you adjust your positions. This is just a demonstration.
Yeah.
It's not a class or a practice. Okay, so basically what Natalie wants from me is to share the internal energy aspect of what you potentially can do in yoga. So my knowledge about what we call chi or internal energy, sometimes called prana in the yoga tradition, comes from the internal martial arts practice, not from yoga. But I realized that there's no reason why I shouldn't be using it while I practice yoga. I mean, it would be just a waste. So that's what I want to share with you, basically. First, we have to talk about what is that internal energy that I'm talking about, because maybe some of you are not familiar with it. And then we're going to do some, I'm going to demonstrate, and we're going to do together some postures that are more like Qigong, Chinese yoga, okay? They are not yoga postures. And then we are going to do some yoga postures, and I'm going to demonstrate how you can use internal energy circulation in yoga. So hopefully you can apply this not just to your practice but to your classes, especially if you do not just only if you do a gentle kind of yoga, a restorative or yin, like the class that we did before. But also, even if you do some power yoga, you can use this internal energy to strengthen your body from the inside out. So I'm going to give you some cues for you when you start teaching how to share with your students about this. But the first thing that I want to talk about is what is qi, right? What is this internal energy that we are talking about? And in Chinese, qi has many different possible interpretations or translations. But here, for it could be air, energy, food in the Qigong tradition, right? But for practical purposes, when you talk about qi or energy in this class or in the yoga energy, we are talking about a bioelectromagnetical force that runs inside the body through a series of channels and meridians, right? So you cannot feel energy, but you cannot smell it. It's like blood, okay? You can see the blood, you can feel the blood, but you, in the case of qi, you cannot see it. You cannot feel it. You can feel it, you can sense it, okay? So, as well as energy, see, if you put your hand, this is going to get warmer here, right? It's not energy, but it's the indication of presence of energy here, the heat. You can feel the energy of the sky, which is energy. The sun is energy through heat or light. Inside the body, you can feel the presence of energy as a warm sensation in different parts of the body. Or sometimes, once you progress in your practice, you can feel like maybe a tingling sensation, whatever you bring that energy to. So again, when we talk about energy, we are talking about, because if you have to define energy, even in Western terms, if you go to an encyclopedia or the dictionary, it's really hard to define. Most likely, you will say the capacity to do work. And it doesn't tell you anything really, right? So yeah, I just see it as an electromagnetic force that runs inside the body. Pretty much like the blood runs inside a series of veins and arteries. Qi runs inside, although the word inside is not totally correct, alongside a series of channels and meridians. I call them like avenues or streets of energy or rivers of energy. So that is Qi, it's the internal energy. In internal martial arts or Qigong or Tai Chi practices, we use internal energy to feed the internal organs, even for martial arts purposes, right? But you can use it to bring that energy to different parts of the body and unblock the stagnant energy when it gets stuck and improve blood circulation. And this is the reason why. So according to traditional Chinese medicine and the Qigong philosophy, the root of all illness is energy getting stuck or blocked in any part of the body. It can happen through a trauma, you know, a fall, surgery, emotions. So the purpose of Qigong, Qi, or in this case, energy yoga, is to have that flow of energy inside the body flowing continuously without interruptions. The perfect flow of energy inside the body is smooth and uninterrupted, right? So we have a series of movements, postures, visualizations to increase the flow or to improve the flow of qi inside the body. So that's why we do the postures we do in Qigong or Tai Chi, and the postures that we are going to do in yoga. Pretty much the yoga postures may serve the same purpose than the Qigong or Tai Chi postures. The thing is that most of us, when we do yoga, we concentrate in the physical body, in the muscles. So when we do, let's say, a warrior two, so we want to tense the muscles and concentrate in the alignment, but with muscle tension. That hinders, blocks the normal flow of qi inside the body. But if you do a warrior two and relax the whole body, that is the beginning of you working with internal energy. But that is not all you have to do. A key concept in internal energy circulation is that the mind leads the qi. The mind leads your energy. So the mind goes first, energy follows your mind. So that's why when you practice energy yoga or Qigong or Tai Chi, your mind should be completely into it. You cannot be thinking about anything else. You have to be concentrated on it. Otherwise, if your mind is dispersed, your qi, your energy will disperse. So this is key because you know, when we say we do any posture, and we say bring your qi to your hands, what you do is you bring your mind first to your hands. And the mind commands the qi, your energy, to get there. And then you express it in whatever way you want to express it. But the mind goes first, and your qi, your energy follows. So that is a key concept. So as the qi follows your mind, the blood follows your energy. So that's why I mentioned before that these energy yoga practices can improve blood circulation. Because the mind goes first, the energy follows, and the blood will go after the energy. So that is a great way to improve blood circulation in any part of the body. Mm-hmm. So again, chi runs, or energy, runs inside the body through a series of meridians or energy channels. And there are 12 major meridians in the human body according to traditional Chinese medicine. And each of them corresponds to an internal organ. And so each internal organ receives energy through that specific meridian. Mm-hmm. It's a complex, you don't need to remember the position of each of the meridians, otherwise it would be a nightmare in just one class, you know. But just keep it in mind. And then there are 8 extraordinary channels, that is the right translation, which act like reservoirs for energy. Mm-hmm. So the meridians draw energy from the energy channels whenever the energy is not enough in that meridian, right? So you replenish the energy in the meridians, drawing energy from the energy channels. And you, fortunately, you don't have to do anything about it. The body knows what to do. That happens naturally. But we are going to work even today with a basic, probably the most basic and popular form of energy circulation in Qigong, which is called the microcosmic orbit meditation. And the microcosmic orbit uses 2 energy channels in the body. One is the governing channel that runs up along the spine, and the other one is the conception channel that runs in the front part of the body, right? So you can see the physical division in your back, which is even more visible because of the spine, but also in the front, right? You see the spine. So the a governing channel starts in the pelvic floor, in the perineum, runs up the coccyx, up the spine, all the way up to the base of the neck, all around the skull, forehead, and into the palate, into the front, the roof of your mouth. And the conception channel starts in the roof and in the tip of your tongue, and runs along the center line of the body all the way down to the pelvic floor, to the perineum. So by touching the tip of your tongue to the roof of your mouth, you click and you close those 2 channels. Energy runs naturally, even if you are not doing that, but you will improve the flow of energy if you do. Mm-hmm. So in this microcosmic orbit meditation, all you have to do, I mean, and it's complicated enough, of course it takes a lot of training, is leading the energy from the belly, which is the storage place for energy in the body, down to the perineum, and then up the spine, all around the head, into the palate, and then down the center of the body, back to the pelvic floor. So you can do it as many times as you want. And yeah, normally it's in that direction. You know? Energy up the spine and down the front of the leg, or the front of the body. There are meridians in the legs, and you can do a more advanced form, moving, mobilizing, distributing energy along the whole body, arms, legs. Yeah? But that is the key, most basic and more effective Qigong meditation, visualization, and energy circulation exercise that you can do, the microcosmic orbit meditation. So we are going to do a very simple drill that I normally do in the first batch Qigong class. Yeah, you don't have to be too close, but just face this. second, the mind commands the chi. The mind commands your energy. And just remember those two things. At the beginning, unless you have training in energy circulation, until you can feel the energy, you have to give it a form or a shape or a color. And so whatever works for you, bring your attention to the to your belly. Yeah? That is the center of gravity of the body, but also an area called the Tan Tien, or the elixir field, and that is the main storage place for energy in the body. And there is an anatomical reason why. But just concentrate your mind there and send your awareness to your lower abdomen. And start collecting energy. Remember, if your mind is there, the chi will go there. And give your chi a form or a shape. It could be a bright light, it could be a fire, a bubble, a ball of energy, a pearl, whatever works. You have to relax the shoulders and relax the arms. And you don't need to extend your arms all the way. Just gently bend the elbows, point the palms. There's an energy gate in the palms. And if you form a fist where the tip of the middle finger touches the palm, that is the approximate location of the Lao Gong energy gate. So what you're going to do is you're going to bring your internal energy, remember, mind commands your energy, to your hands. And then bring that energy towards the candle. And remember, you're not using your muscles. Chi doesn't respond to your muscles. Yeah? You are using your mind to direct your chi towards the candle. So imagine that your intention is putting out the flame. And then rest your hands down. If you feel any tension in your shoulders and arms, totally natural. It takes a long time of practicing to truly relax your muscles. So we're going to do it again. This time, just a tiny bit more sophisticated. The mind, your mind will lead the chi up to the chest and shoulders, arms, and towards your hands, and then your mind will project that chi towards the candle. Okay? So how about if we do it coordinating with your breath? So on the inhale, just position your arms first in the proper position. And then as you inhale, lead the energy with your mind to your hands. And as you exhale, project it to the flame. Two more times. Inhale, lead the energy up the spine, shoulders, arms, hands. Exhale, project. One more. So that is just a little example of energy circulation. As you did with this, you are going to do with any other exercise. Sometimes you need to absorb energy instead of send it out. right? So it's the same process, but inverting it. So we're going to do a couple of other exercises. So let's forget about the candy now.
Is this one of the things that brings the power to yoga nidra?
Right, and instead of energy, they call it prana, maybe, life force. It's basically the mind leading the prana, or kundalini. It's pretty similar to qigong. It's basically the same idea. The methods are different. The postures. I'm not very familiar with, I took a few classes of yoga nidra, kundalini, but I'm not a teacher, so I don't want to get too deep into that because I'm not qualified enough. Okay, let me see. One more thing that I want you to understand is the concept, I will send you a handout about this, is the concept of yin and yang. Probably you saw, maybe I have. Do you know the yin and yang symbol?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, it's very popular, right? So the white part is normally referred to as yang, and the yin part as, and the black part as yin, right? I don't have a, do you guys have a pencil that can borrow from my shoulder? So, just so you don't have to imagine too much. It's basically it. Right? So one part is black, this one, and this is the yin, right? And the white part is the yang. Yeah, but notice that there's a little white circle inside the black, and a little black circle inside the white. So that indicates the presence of yin, or yin and yang, and yang and yin. So that gives you the idea that they are not permanent states. In fact, look at this, there's a circle. It's not a square, right? So, and this is a different way of seeing things. This is straight, and the universe is not like this, it's like this, right? So that indicates that yang becomes yin, and yin becomes yang. Now, so notice when yang reaches the maximum of expression, when it's the bulky part, yang starts. And yang grows and grows and grows. And when it gets big, yin starts. And it gives you the idea of circularity and movement. It's not this, right? So you apply this to every single thing that you do in energy yoga or qigong. For instance, when we were doing this very simple drill, the collecting the energy is the yin, and the expanding the energy is the yang part. Yeah? But once you got it to the maximum of expression in yang, you start collecting yin. And once you collected all the energy, you start yang. In movement, it's even more graphic, you know. Any expanding movement is yang, but you can only expand up to a certain point, and then you have to just retract or contract. And so this is yin, and this is yang. Yang becomes yin. Yin becomes yang. And check the movement of the whole body. So I'm not doing this, yang, yin. This is the square, right? Yang, yin. It's yang, find the circle, yin, yang, and yin. So it's really hard to tell when yang ends and yin starts, and same with yin. So this is still yin, but you don't know when yang starts. It's not very clear, right? And then yang starts. Yin and yang. Yin or yang and yin. Advancing is yang. Walking back is yin. And this applies to every single event in the universe. Daylight is young, and day becomes night, yin. Every day, yin transforming into yang and vice versa. The seasons, the cold turns, yin turns into the yang, hot weather, and so on. It happens all the time. And you can read a whole book about, we can be talking about yin and yang for 2 days. But it's amazing, it's an amazing concept to understand, and it's way deeper than this, okay? And you can apply this, you will see it's very inspiring when you can feel the yin and yang phases of your movement, of your life, and you can apply that to your everyday life situation.
Mm-hmm. I had a shiatsu teacher that explained it in that, because wherever there's yin, there's yang. So like even in a room, like if you have a fire in a room, that's your yang, but what it's creating in the room is a yin atmosphere of relaxation and comfort.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they're always, wherever you find one, you always find the other. You just have to look for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be able to recognize it, I guess.
Right. It's there, even if you don't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
But recognizing it brings awareness
mm-hmm.
to what's happening, so it's great. And yeah, that's what I mentioned. It's not an absolute concept. It's not a square.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, depending on the measurement that you are taking, could be yin and yang at the same time, right? Because let's see, let's say that the upper part of the body is yang, and the lower part of the body is yin. But let's say that the front part of the body, this is yin. Remember, the lower part of the body is yin. But the front is yang and the back is yin. So you have yang inside yin. And so it depends on the measurement. So it's flowing. It's a circle. It's not straight. Mm-hmm. So that's another concept that I wanted to share with you. And again, I'm going to send a document that I wrote for my college class a couple of years ago. So let's stand up and then let's do a couple of simple exercises to really understand the yin and yang. So open your feet about a little wider than the hip distance apart. We call this posture mahu, or riding a horse stance. Soften your knees, open your chest, draw your shoulders down. So on the inhale, you're going to start lifting your arms from the wrists. Imagine that there's a string attached to your wrists. So inhale and lift your arms above shoulder level. And as you exhale, bend your elbows and lower the arms. So let's do it again. On the inhale, you inflate the whole body as you lift your arms. And as you exhale, you lower your arms. Now let's start softening the edges. And remember, it's hard to tell when yang ends and yin begins and vice versa. Yeah? I want you to feel that. The whole body like a balloon, and then as you exhale, deflate. And one more time, yang, expansion, yin, contraction. Okay, let's do something very similar to this in a different posture. So let's come back to this mahu position. Shift away to the left foot. Pivot with the right heel about diagonal, 45 degree angle. And then step forward with the left foot. And point the foot straight ahead. And then bend the knee so the knee is over the ankle. So make sure that your feet are not in the same line, but slightly open. yeah, for more balance. So this is what we call gombu, or a bow, or bow and arrow position. So we're going to inhale, contract, bring your energy to your belly, exhale, expand, and push with your energy, but not using your muscles. And then inhale, just a slight rotation in your torso, exhale, push without overstretching the arms. So complete two or three more pushes. But make sure that you're not pushing with your muscles. Your muscles should be totally relaxed in order for the energy to reach the hands. And you can imagine that you're pushing the wall ahead of you. Maybe one more time. Find the circle there. Got an idea about yin and yang and what we are talking about here, right? And it feels so revealing because, yeah, you can do this without being awareness of what's happening. But if you keep your attention in the, if you keep the yin and yang symbol in mind, it softens the edges. It makes the movement more circular. See, you were not doing this, stretching the arms, shifting the weight. You were trying to find a circle here, right? A key element, if you're going to incorporate energy circulation in your yoga practice, is shoulders down and relax. It can take years for people to relax the shoulders, understand what true relaxation of the shoulders mean. I have students who, I remember this guy who took him exactly 1 full year practicing 3 times a week for him to relax the shoulders. Yeah, a lawyer, usually, you know, with papers and court and everything, tension, you know, 1 full year. It took me 1 full year also. I remember my teacher one day coming, and she would tell me, lower the shoulders. You know, she would just walk around shoulders. And it was class after class every day for a full year. And then I remember the moment she came behind me, she talked to me and said, what do you got? So it was about 1 year after I started practicing. Mm-hmm. So you have to just tell your students, shoulders down, relax, relax the muscles. And the energy normally gets stuck, believe it or not, in the wrists. That is a very common, I just wasn't aware of it until I started practicing Qigong and Tai Chi. And it makes sense. Most of us, we do manual labor, right? Manual jobs. We type, we drive, we hammer things, whatever you do in life. You use your hands, you use your arms, and energy normally gets stuck in the wrists. Releasing the wrists is also tricky because we are not used to, because we need to the movement of the wrist to be stuck there in order to do whatever we do. So you have to instruct, like since I used the warrior chair posture before, the students in relaxing the shoulders. And normally when we do even the flow class, regular flow classes, I ask the students to inhale and lift the shoulder. Exhale and drop them all the way. So that helps them to relax the shoulders. But then it's not blocking the energy in the elbow, when you lock the elbow, and then relaxing the wrist. So the energy can reach the fingertips. The wrist is a continuation of the forearm into the hand. Not here, but here. And the energy will reach the fingertips or express through the palms of the hands. So that's one more thing to keep in mind. Okay, so let me demonstrate a couple of, postures that I normally do in Qigong. One of them I normally use in yoga, because I found out that there's a very similar position in yoga, a similar posture called Kaliasana, and it's a yoga posture. I don't know anybody who uses that posture, but ever since I started introducing it into my flow classes in the hot yoga studio, people love them, and some people told me that that is their favorite posture, so I keep using it, of course, in a traditional yoga class. So let's do some traditional Qigong postures. And let's do first a study or a practice the stances that we are going to use. And so we start with the feet together and bring your attention to the soles of your feet, and then extend your energy body down towards the center of the earth. And then without losing that connection, lift from the top of your head. Lengthen the body, but keep your knees soft, and then bring your awareness to your belly. So this is the starting position. So start shifting the weight to the right foot, lift the left heel, and the whole weight of the body comes to the right as you step sideways to the left with the left foot. And then from the hips, center your weight until it is 50-50, and then sink down more. And just shift all the weight of the body, send it down to your feet. As you are still reaching up from the top of your head, open your chest, drop the shoulders. So this is the Mabu horse. Shift the weight to the left foot, pivot with the right heel, pointing the toes towards the plant here in the corner. Shift the weight to the right, and step forward with the left heel, and then connect the rest of the foot. This is called gombu, or bow and arrow, with the left knee over the ankle, and the right foot pointing in diagonal. And the torso follows the direction always of the leading foot, so your upper body follows the direction of the left foot. And then shift the weight back to the right leg and just touch the foot with the toes, maybe with the balls of your left foot. See, all the weight of the body, 99%, is on the right leg. Okay, so this is a shubu or an empty stance. Empty because this leg is empty. So this leg is the yang leg, it's full, solid. This is the yin leg, empty and light. But if we step forward and do the same posture on the other side, now the left leg is the yang and the right leg is the yin. So I think we're going to use just those, we're going to use just two of those postures, maybe even one, the Mabu and the Y Mabu. So let's start with the feet together. As you inhale, lift the right arm all the way up, palm facing to the street side, press down with the left hand, and as you lower your hand to the chest, lift the right knee, point the toes down, and so you bring your hand to the chest. And so balance yourself on the left foot, and then from here, we're going to step to the side and open the arms to the sides. So this is a wide Mabu, right? Drop the shoulders, sink down, and squat. Palms facing outwards, but shoulders totally relaxed. You have to feel that you can do, you can hold this posture for 30 minutes. Now bring the left hand on top of your head, palm facing up, back of the left hand connecting to the top of your head, and bring your attention to the right hand. Bring your energy up the spine, right shoulder, right arm, and imagine that you are pushing the wall with your internal energy, not with your muscles. So project your chi towards the wall. And then lower the arm, left. And bring your feet together, hands together, and other side. Breathe in. Breathe out. So lift the left knee, left hand in front of your chest, open to the side, open your arms, fingertips pointing up, same down. This time bring the right hand on top of your head and notice the shape of the arm. It's not straight, it's a circle. Left shoulder relaxed, right shoulder relaxed. Bring your energy up the spine, left shoulder to the left hand, and project towards the windows. Relax all the muscles, and lower the right arm, feet together, palms touching, arms down. So that is Kaliasana. Open wide again. Point your toes slightly to the sides. Now as we inhale, lift your arms to the sides and up. Palms facing each other. And take your time and lower the shoulders. Take your time to bring your attention to the fingertips and connect the fingertips to the sky. Young energy. Soften your knees. And then turning the palms so they face forward, hinging from the hip joints, exhale, and forward fold, bringing your hands to the floor. Just bend your knees as much as you have to. Now connect your palms to the yin energy of the earth. So you are not just touching the floor, you are connecting to the energy of the earth. Then form fists in both hands. And as you squat down a little deeper, bring your hands over your shoulders, upper body up. And then sink more. Take your time to relax your legs, your shoulders, your hands, remember your wrists. Connect your hands to the sky. And as you exhale, reach up. Extend your legs without locking the knees. Extend your arms without locking the elbows. And arms down. Okay. Let's do the same posture, working with the breath. As you inhale, lift. As you exhale, forward fold. Inhale, hands over the shoulders, upper body upright. Same. Exhale, press. And relax your arms by the sides. Now, this is a different posture. Cross your arms by the wrists, palms facing in. Now we're going to pull the bow with the left hand. Imagine that you're shooting an arrow. Pull the bow with the left hand and extend the right arm to the side. So check the position, relax the left shoulder, elbow pointing down, fist in front of the shoulder. So your upper body is not leaning to the left or to the right, and the weight of the body is 50-50 in each leg. Right? So here you're going to bring your attention to the right hand, and imagine that you're shooting an energy arrow through the right hand. So aim for the wall. Remember, your chi follows your breath. So if your breath goes there, your chi will fall. Now open the left hand, the left arm, and close. Now we are going to cross the arms again by the wrists. Bring your hands in front of your chest, palms facing in, and this time we're going to pull with the right hand, forming a fist. And extend the left arm, sink down, and project your chi through the left hand. Bring your chi up the spine, left shoulder, arm, left hand, and shoot the arrow. Now we'll open the right arm and close. One breath, one movement. Inhale. Exhale. Let's move straight into the next posture. Bring the right arm, find the circle all the way up. Bring the left hand with the palm facing down to the back. And as you exhale, twist. So the right hand is with the palm up, connecting to the sky, and the left hand in the back with the palm facing down, connecting to the earth. So make sure that you don't tense the muscles at the wrists. So connect, mentally divide your mind between the right hand and the left. And let's twist to the other side. So right arm moving down, left moving up. Right hand facing down, left up. And take your time to divide your mind. Communicate with the energy of the sky through the left hand and the yin energy of the earth through the right. And now let's do one breath, one movement. So inhale. Exhale. Inhale. And remember, no sharp edges. Exhale. And body position. And let's do one more posture. If this is not comfortable, just shake your legs. And then bring your fists to the sides of the waist. And palms facing up. Open your chest, draw the shoulders, and point the elbows towards the back of the room, and then sink. As you sink down, make sure that there's no compression in the lumbar spine. Relax your legs. The whole weight of the body falls on your feet. Don't hold any weight in your belly or hips. Now inhale to collect your energy in your belly. And as you exhale, extend your arms forward and imagine that you're pushing the wall in front of you. And without overextending the arms, drop the shoulders, keep the elbows bent. Inhale, pull, sink, upper body up, open your chest. Exhale, push. One more time, work with your breath. Inhale. Second part, and we're going to punch, individual punches. So we're going to start with the right fist, inhale, exhale, punch straight forward with the right fist, without locking the elbow, relax the shoulder, right, pull, left. So bring your energy to the fist and imagine that you are punching a hole in the wall ahead of you. some of the traditional, a couple of them are not very well known Qigong postures. So see, you have to establish a solid foundation, relax every single muscle in the body, and then your mind will be leading your Qi, in this case to the hands, right? It takes training, but it's pretty simple, right? I mean, the concept is simple. Then having the energy to circulate is not so easy, but that's the knowledge that you need. Mind leading the Qi. Any questions so far?
On this twist?
Yeah.
You were staying down, right? You weren't trying
yeah.
to lift.
No, what I do is I use the, because this is another, it's a little bit more advanced, so if you didn't want to get into it. The energy runs inspiring motion down the leg and then bounces on the floor and moves up, and that's what gives the power to your push or your punch. So this is a punch without using energy, maybe a muscle fall. This is a punch using your energy coming up the spine and expressing through the fist. So what I normally do in every posture is that I make the energy bounce on the floor and then use that energy to lift. So that's what I do in this posture. The thing that you notice, we start here, and then I go. See, it's like a little bouncing movement here, but you keep the upper body always upright. Of course, we do it much lower, but just for demonstration. And same when you do Tai Chi. Tai Chi is pretty similar to this, but only that you do uninterrupted movements. And so you will be moving. Once you start, you don't stop, and you move very slowly. And the concept is the same. Yang, joining into yin, joining into yang, into yin, into yang. See? So that is a way, if you want to put it like that, Tai Chi is a way of Qigong, working with internal energy. So you can see the yin becoming yang, yang becoming yin, and becoming yang again. So whatever movement you do, is the yin and yang always there. And always the mind consciously leading the energy to a different part of the body. So yeah, that's what I do.
I had a question about something you said earlier. You said you can push the energy out, and that's what we're doing when we're trying to project our energy towards the wall.
Yeah, project.
But you said something else. You said sometimes you can bring the energy in.
Right.
Is that like a general, like true for any, like people? Like can some people bring too much energy in versus pushing it out?
You are saying that maybe you are bringing too much energy into yourself, or some people absorbing your energy?
Well, sometimes I feel like I absorb too much energy. And I want you said something that you can do that. Can you also not do that? Like
yeah.
Intentionally?
Yeah, right. You know, there are specific exercises, we're going to do one, to absorb energy from the sky, from the earth, and from nature around. What I normally do is I go to a park or a hike in the middle of nowhere and I connect to a tree. And I just hug the tree, I'm a tree hugger. In fact, one of the most popular postures in Qigong is called embracing the tree, is this. So you make the energy circulate between your arms and up and down. So what I do is I receive the energy of the, in this case, the dream, and you can also project it and give it back. Just as a way to improve your own energy circulation.
Mm-hmm.
Energy circulating inside the body, remember, is the the foundation of good health and strength. So that's the idea. Whatever you do, increase the circulation of your energy inside your body. And you can do it in yoga. See, like in this yoga posture that, that we did, you bring the energy to the hands, even though in yoga people don't do this. But why not? I mean, if you are in the posture, just move. And you bring the energy to the hand. And the idea is to project it. And you can do the opposite. You can absorb the energy through the hand in postures like this. I don't know, this is called the posture of the, I'm translating, of the fox. Yeah. I remember at night, decades ago in Buenos Aires, we would go up the roof of the National Library on a full moon, and we would stay here absorbing the energy of the moon through the hands. So that is a posture that is great for bringing yin energy into the body. You can do it with the sun, bringing yang energy into the body, communicating with the energy of the tree that I mentioned before. You can absorb energy. I normally do this, absorb energy from nature and bring it in through the energy gate in the top of your head. It's a very simple movement. All with the purpose of increasing the or improving the flow of qi inside the body. The idea is not to waste energy. And the idea is to hold it and increase the circulation inside. Some people are, you know, Qigong masters and doctors are so advanced that they can tap into your own energy. So that's why what you have, which is basically acupuncture, right? Without needles. And that's what acupuncturists do. They start a needle in different parts of the body to increase the energy circulation in that meridian, right? In Qigong, and these doctors or practitioners, they can use their own energy to mobilize or unblock energy in your body. Yeah, I didn't really believe much in it until in Los Angeles I met this Chinese master and he put a hand on my arm and I had to tell him, okay, stop this because it was getting too hot, freakishly hot.
The guy in Santa Monica? You
used to
have to use a towel because it gets so hot, it protects.
No, it wasn't in Santa Monica. I don't know if we're talking about the same guy. It wasn't, I met him in the house of some friends.
Really hot.
Yeah. But even your own practice, when you become proficient in dealing with internal energy and leading that energy, let's say, to the hands, you are going to feel the palms pretty warm. See, my hands are, I'm not doing a lot of energy circulation, but my palms are pretty warm already. So that is the indication of the presence of energy in your body. And you can use that energy to heal yourself, ideally. Takes time, but that's the one of the main goals.
Now, are the energy blockages are called subos, right?
Subas?
Subos. T-S-U-V-O?
D-O?
T-S-U-V-O. Subo.
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 It's,
and that's what they call
it. And that's the acupuncture name, okay?
That's what I learned in Shiatsu. I haven't studied acupuncture, just that when you get an energy block in your meridian, they call them subos.
So that's probably Japanese.
Right. Japanese system. Yeah, Jiatsu is Japanese and it sounds Japanese. It could be the Japanese word for it. And then some acupuncture points have a name different than in Qigong.
Oh.
The same point has a different name. So you have like 200 Chinese names. And then you have to learn which one belongs to the acupuncture and which one to the Qigong tradition.
Just like pigeon and swan.
Right. Right. Okay. So. So that is one part of it. Let's advance. We have like probably 20 more minutes. So let's do some yoga postures and let's apply what you know of internal energy circulation to your yoga posture. In your own practice, or if you are planning to teach, you can incorporate this to your practice or teaching, to your classes. So I prepared a few movements that I would like to share with you. In fact, we did, in the previous class, we did a couple of those postures in which I normally use internal energy circulation, but I didn't want to mention this in class because it was going to be pointless without all this information. But, let's do a sun salutation. If you cannot do a sun salutation with a plank, or just modify it, that's not the whole point. But I want to show you how you can use internal energy in the most basic postures in the yoga. So let's come to the top of your mat and bring your feet together. Let's start in Tadasana. So the first thing that you do here is, as you inhale, you lift your arms so you can collect fresh energy in the hands, and as you exhale, forward fold, you can connect your hands to the yin energy of the earth. Inhale, halfway left, and exhale, bring your hands down and step back to plank, and lower the plank, Chaturanga Dandasana. Cobra, inhale. What I normally do in Cobra, Qigong exercise, is breathing straight from the chest into the heart. Feels great. So, big inhale into the heart, and then exhale to down dog. And from down dog, bring the right foot between your hands as we did in the previous class, and lower the knee to a low lunge as we did before. This is one of the postures, as we did before in the class, in which you can use internal energy circulation. You can bring internal energy to your fingertips and improve your energy circulation by visualizing, projecting the energy out to the sky. Just do it for one breath. And you're shooting energy through your fingertips, or the opposite. You can absorb energy of the sky through your fingertips and bring it down to your bed. And then bring your hands down. Another thing that you can do is, as you interlace your fingers, you inhale and breathe into your chest, into your heart, and as you exhale, you round your back. So it's maybe two or three times. You can do it in class. Inhale, exhale. So that works on blocking stagnant energy in the spine, and the spine, we call it the stairway to heaven, because the energy rises up through the spine into the head. And we're going to skip the second side and come all the way up. And let's move. Normally I just do the whole vinyasa, and from down dog, I step forward with the right foot into a crescent lunge, right? So you can move straight to crescent here. And so the right foot in front, pointing straight ahead, the one in the back is with the heel up. And then you lift your arms, drop the shoulders, same thing. Here, options, breathing into the heart, shooting the energy out the fingertips, or absorbing the energy the fingertips into your belly. Okay? So you have all those options. Then from here, we're going to move to a warrior two. So open, arms parallel with the floor, from knee over the ankle. The key here, even if you're leading a regular yoga class or in your own practice, is to drop the shoulders. And then the alignment, this is not my, I'm not supposed to cover this today, alignment since we are talking about it, what I normally see is that the student crossing the back foot behind the left. Mm-hmm. So in Warrior Two, you can have your heels in the same line or slightly open, right? For more balance. And also the right foot, the back foot can be pointing to the side. I prefer slightly closing it in, turn it in, and then you can press with the outer side of the foot on the floor to keep the back leg straight and strong. So the second challenge is relaxing the shoulders, and once you are in Warrior Two, lead the energy, in this case, to the left hand. Yeah? So you have to look at it. Yeah? The energy follows your mind, but if your mind is easy, it's easier for your mind to get there if you're looking at it, right? And then visualize shooting energy through the fingertips, which gives you a lot of strength in the posture. Yeah? So just try this for 2 breaths. You lead the energy up the spine, shoulder, arm, and into your fingertips in the left hand, and project. Okay, since we are here, let's reverse it and bring the left hand over here. Same thing you can do with extended side angle. Yeah, as you exhale, bring the right arm over here, and rest the left arm on the left thigh. And once you are there, just visualize this energy line moving from the right hand, and from the fingertips, all the way to the left foot. It's a line of energy. And again, you can project your energy through the fingertips in the front hand. Okay, so let's come back to center position. Progressive lunge. We're not going to do both sides. It's not a class, it's just a demonstration, right? So Warrior Two, come back to a crescent. Lift the back heel. And from here, you're going to move, and remember what you can do with your energy in that crescent, right? Shift the weight to the left foot, and then lower your arms as you lift the right knee. If this is not comfortable, you can place the right foot down on the mat. Otherwise, just lift it. Let's just for a second open your chest. And this is just a transition for Warrior Three. Huh? So this is a very powerful posture for energy circulation. If you can do, if you cannot do Warrior Three, just place the right foot on the mat. Otherwise, just feel that energy line from the fingertips all the way to the back foot. And then back to stork. And back to crescent. So that is a sequence that I normally do in regular power flow. Okay? So crescent lunge to arrowhead, to stork, to warrior three. From here you can move to a half moon and so on. Any questions so far? Okay. And let's do one more. Let's see. You can sit on your knees, or on a block, or on a bolster if you prefer. And we're going to do internal energy circulation here. Which is much easier because we are sitting and we don't have to be concerned about balance or form, right? Okay, so we're going to sink the attention in the lower abdomen. And again, form that energy ball, pearl, a fire, a bubble, a color, whatever works to give form to your internal energy. Remember, your mind, your awareness should be there, otherwise the energy will spread out. Concept to remember, mind leads your energy. So bring your mind, leading your energy to the pelvic floor. And so bring that bubble, that color, whatever you are using, to the pelvic floor. And then slowly towards the tip of your coccyx. Mind goes first. And then up the sacrum, up the spine, passing to the lower back, middle back, and the space between the shoulder blades, reaching the bottom of your cervicals, and up the neck, around the skull to the top of your head, to the front, now descending to the center of your forehead, passing in front of the third eye, down the nose, into your palate. Now, the tip of your tongue touching the palate, and have that energy descend using your tongue down to the throat, now using the front of your body, down to the space in front of the heart, down to your belly, passing in front of your navel, and back to the pelvic floor. And then as you inhale, bring that energy up to your belly, and hold it there. Again, keep your attention in the lower abdomen, make that energy ball, make it stronger, more luminous, more powerful. And the Tan Tien in the lower abdomen is the space for storing internal energy, and the body will draw it from there whenever and wherever it's needed. Now dissolve the visualization. Maybe reconnect to your deep breathing through the nose. And open your eyes. So what we just did was that microcosmic orbit meditation that I told you before, having the energy to circulate from the center, from your core, down to the perineum, up the spine, all around the head, and back to the perineum. That unblocks stagnant energy from the two main channels of the body. As I mentioned, this is the governing channel, or the back channel, front channel, or conception channel in the front. And always we finish storing energy in the belly, in the Tan Tien. So if you guys have any questions, let me know. I'll be here for a few more minutes. But it'll be important for you if you can remember specifically which postures you can use for internal energy circulation and use it. It changes. It's like, why not? You are missing something that it could be wonderful for your practice if you do. Crescent lunge is great. Warrior 2 is great. Warrior 3 is great. This one, hero pose. I can tell you so many other exercises that are energy circulation exercises that I do in this posture. But that's one of them. I suggest you not to do the microcosmic orbit meditation in a yoga class because it needs training, right? And it could be a little boring and pointless for students because they don't know what they're doing. If you don't know what energy or chi is and how it feels or how to make it circulate, it's pretty pointless. But you can say when you are warrior two, relax your arms and bring your internal energy to your fingertips. And I think that people get it, or most people do. So in fact, last month I was taking a class here with Krista, and we did a few warrior twos and threes and whatnot. And at the end of the class, she told me, "I can't believe your energy, warrior two." So you can see it from the outside. It's not stiffness, it's energy. So yeah.
On your handout,
mind have some of the postures listed?
I can do it, yeah. I have to make that big patient, maybe not today, but during the week, I'm gonna, if not, remind me.
Oh.
I can send you a handout with some of the postures that in which you can use internal energy circulation.
That'd be wonderful. Yeah, there's no rush, just remember what you want.
Yeah.
So have you ever tried any of the blocks, like in Shavasana at the end, before, you know, resting to do internal energy circulation just a couple times to see how people responded?
Yeah, never. I never tried in Shavasana because before.
Yeah.
Like I said, my favorite posture is this thunderbolt because you keep the upper body up and the spine extended.
Yeah.
And in Shavasana, I want people to just totally relax, and I don't want their minds to keep working. If you are very proficient in energy circulation, you can do it, resting on the floor in Shavasana, and it could be pretty energizing. But for most people, it would be, again, what am I doing?
So we would look at that as an energizing, not a resting, or could it be both?
Right.
More energizing?
Yeah, you know, when I practice Qigong or Tai Chi, I never feel tired, even after 2 hours of practice. And some postures can be challenging, but I always feel like I replenish my energy instead of getting tired. So I finish my training with more strength than before. I was going to add something about that, but I forgot. I forgot. It doesn't matter. Come on in. We're done.
Hello. Hi. Disregard my text messages.
Okay.
Because I got stuck in the freeway. It was a huge accident.
Oh, no.
So driving towards and then forward, I mean, a whole those massive tracks blocking the whole thing of any car. So, and it spilled over to my lane coming in. So I thought I was
going to
be late, but no.
Okay, we just finished here.